You're listening to the Creating Your Own Path podcast, episode number 112. Hey everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Jen Snyder, the host of Creating Your Own Path, and each week I share conversations with those working in various creative industries. We cover a lot of ground on this show, but the ultimate goal is to unearth the stories of others so that we can uncover and better understand our own. You can listen to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or your favorite podcast app. You can also catch a new episode each week at creatingyourownpath.com. Today, we're hearing once again from designer and hand letterer Christine Herron. If you listened to last week's episode 111, you know that Christine's passion is memory keeping, and she's built a business around designing modern products for those who love to capture and save memories. She also has a very full freelance schedule as a designer and hand letterer, and she just recently wrapped up a stint as an Adobe Creative Resident. In today's interview, we talk about how travel is essential for jolting her creative brain into action. We also discuss the surprising places she's found product design ideas in her travels, why she's okay with both the digital and physical types of memory keeping, and how she blends work and travel as a way to see the world and get stuff done at the same time. Let's get to Christine. It seems like travel plays a huge role in just about everything you do. And so why do you think that the act of visiting new places is so important to you?
Oh, wow. Well, I tend to get a little antsy once things are too familiar or are too like routine. And I think that was one reason why I moved from Manila too. I was like, oh, this is getting too predictable. Like, I need kind of like a jolt of something. And I realized, like, my creative process always needs, like, that kind of jolt. Like, being in a new city, being like, okay, where am I? What's happening? What am I doing? Just, even just for me, changing my environment does wonders for, like, my creativity. I don't know. It is probably you don't know what's happening, and it's, what was that quote? There was a quote that I love, but there's something about travel where nothing is too ordinary that it's taken for granted or something. Like, every ordinary thing is extraordinary because it's not familiar. Where nothing is familiar that it's taken for granted. And I love being like, because when you're traveling, like, everything's turned on, right? You're like, oh, you're extra alert, and you're like, okay, trying to kind of make sense of this new place. And I love that feeling. It's kind of like it's a jolt for me, like, oh. And I do my best work when I'm in some random city. I mean, it doesn't have to be a different country. Like, sometimes I'm like, I need to work on this project. I'm going to go to Seattle, sit in an Airbnb, and just do this all week. Like, just changing up my environment just makes me extra creative. And yeah, there's something about that, I think. There's magic in the unfamiliar and in the, ooh, this is all so new and different. And so that's why I travel most of the time. I just need that jolt.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely, you know, it's like, wow, I'm having coffee in LA.
Yeah.
I could have coffee in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And not have the same experience. It feels very like new and fancy and different.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's funny. It's like a mind switch where you just kind of like think of things in a different way.
Yeah. But I mean, I wish there were a cheaper way to do that, but it's still the best and funnest way to kind of work on new things for me. I mean, that and like long haul flights for some reason are magic for me.
Oh, really? Do you get a lot done on long haul flights?
Yes. I was like, there's something about like, well, I'm here and there's no internet. So I guess I got to work. And I always joke, like, maybe I should just, like, sit at home and turn off my internet. Maybe it'll have the same effect. But being on a long-haul flight, there's something about, like, there's the anticipation of travel. There's the sense that I'm stuck here for 14 hours, so I might as well get stuff done. There's no internet, so I can't get distracted. I mean, there is internet, but I don't want to pay for it. So it's like, okay, I can't get distracted. So what can I work on? And so I always joke that all my life plans are always made on like airplanes going somewhere.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. I try to sleep or I watch movies on planes. I should probably switch it up. Maybe I'd have more better life plans.
You can throw in some life planning in between movies, because I
Yeah.
do that too. After a while, I'm like, ah, I'm just gonna watch a movie.
Right,
But
14 hours is a long trip. So I do understand that. So I'm curious, do you have like have you been to any cities or countries that have inspired specific projects or designs? Like, do you have any recollection of saying like, oh, I went to London and it inspired this?
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. A lot of so I work on paper products too. So I'm trying to expand my line of stamps into more like what do you call them? Guided journals, and like different format books, just because like one, I love them. I'm a paper nerd. And two, a lot of them I got inspired by little things I found on my travels. So I like once like I can give like a ton of examples. I'll give like two really quick ones. But when I used to work at the publishing company in Manila, we would work on yearly planners. So I used to work for a kids magazine. So it was for like 8 to 12 year old girls, and it was very like colorful and all. And our assignment was to come up with a yearly school planner for the kids as like a spin-off of the magazine. And so while we were thinking of the formats, I remember going to Korea from the Philippines. Like it was like one of my favorite like creative kind of getaways, because Korea, oh my God, they love their stationery there. It's like stationery heaven. And I remember like looking at their I was there and I was like, oh, I should check out the planners, like how they do planners, because I might get some inspiration. And what they would do is they would have a few pages in the front of the planner that would have examples of how the pages were filled up. So they would have special, like, for example, grids on the pages. And I think when you're just flipping through the planner, you're like, what's this for? And in the beginning, it's like a how to use this planner. And they would have like little thumbnails of this is where you write in whatever. And they would have like actual examples of it. And it was just so colorful and nice. And I was like, I love this, like kind of giving the user an overview of all the different kinds of pages, especially if you're introducing a new format. And I ended up adopting that to the planner we were working on. And a lot of my projects now have that kind of instruction sheet type thing. And I love it. It just gives like a visual, it's visually interesting, and it kind of explains a lot of things that I guess people wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't normally, I guess, think to like use it in that way. And so I was like, oh, I love how like this special feature, like it was something I saw in, when I was in Korea, and this is how they do it. And I rarely see it in planners here, but it was something I got to adopt. And that was super cool. And
That's so interesting. That's like, it's like good UX design,
And
basically.
yeah, it's the classic example of when you travel and you see how other people do certain things, and you're like, oh, that's true. I can do it this way too. Like,
Right.
it's just different. And it's, yeah, so that was cool. And I was just like, oh, I could totally adopt this. And another quick example too was I was already with a creative residency, but I was thinking of a cool format for a travel journal. And I was in Paris with my mentor, and we were walking around bookstores, and just we found like this folder type thing that I think in the US, I was like, I've never in the US it's usually like a letter size kind of folder that has like elastic or whatever. But in Paris they had a small version, and I was like, I've never seen this in bookstores. And my mentor's like, yeah, people here use this for their like receipts or whatever. And I was like, I've never seen this format. Like, I should totally adopt this as like a box. And we're like, yeah, let's make it into a box. But it was one of those things where if I were walking around, you know, a stationery store in the US, I would never find this. But in Paris, it was so normal. It's like, what? Why do you find this interesting? It's just like a folder that you can find in any like office supply store. But I was so inspired because I was like, I've never seen it this size. And once again, like seeing how other countries, the most everyday things from other countries can like spark so much inspiration. And that's where I got the inspiration for the format that I worked on, of the project that I worked on. So,
Oh,
yes,
cool.
travel.
I know, right? It's so
I
cool.
get all my ideas.
That's amazing. And just a side note, listeners might be familiar with your mentor, Anne Dittmeyer. So I actually interviewed her before this was a podcast. Creating Your Own Path was an interview series on my blog. Mm-hmm. And she was one of my very, very first people that I reached out to. And she's amazing. And I will link up to that in the show notes because
her
interview is so cool and her website is amazing. She's super talented. So just a little sidebar, there's resources in the show notes, folks, because you have to check out Anne's work too.
Yeah, and if you're ever in Paris, she does like special, whatever you want to see in Paris, she can do like tours and stuff. You want to be like, I want to see all the paper stores. She will take you to all the paper stores.
Because she's got the scoop, I know.
Yeah.
I know, she's amazing. So, okay, so you're currently based in the Bay Area, like you mentioned, and you're from Manila. Yep. So I'm curious, how have the two cities influenced your work? Have you noticed that like in Manila, I was doing this, and in San Francisco, mm-hmm. I'm doing this? I mean, have you seen a difference in influence?
Oh, that's so interesting. Well, when I was working in Manila, when I started, I was super into scrapbooking. As I said, I worked for a big publishing company, kind of like the Hearst or Condé Nast of Manila, that had like a ton of magazines. I worked for the 8 to 12 year old girl one called Total Girl, and every day was what's Justin Bieber and the Jonas Brothers doing. But I was like, oh my god, if I see Justin Bieber's face one more time. But it was very colorful, and that kind of tied in very well to my scrapbooking aesthetic. That was, you know, like scrapbooking, it's like as much things as you can add on to a page, kind of. And this was like early 2000s scrapbooking. So when I worked at the magazine, they're like, these are for kids. Like, you have to add more stickers, like make it more colorful. So that's kind of how I got started, like designing things. It was always like, add more things. And I remember when I moved to San Francisco, I went to like my first few weeks in grad school, I had a professor be like, Christine, too many things are happening on this page, like, and never use purple. And I was like, oh, really? Okay. I'm trying to scale it back a bit. And so when I moved to San Francisco, I kind of learned about design is very minimalist. Like, just make sure everything has a purpose. Like, there's a reason why you put that text there. It's not just to add more things to the page. And I think from that, I've kind of evolved. It's a balance of the two now, where hopefully my type choice is a lot more elegant than before, but I still love adding like a ton of things, like just make it colorful, add a lot of bits and pieces to make it visually interesting. Like it's kind of the mix of the two that's evolved into like my aesthetic now, which is still very colorful and playful, but kind of has a balance with the more like scaled back, like clean, hopefully more elegant looking type and arrangement. Yeah, it's mostly like the work and the people that I've met in both cities. Like, oh, that's kind of how it's influenced my work so far.
That's interesting. And I would agree with that assessment, like mm-hmm. just looking at your work that you've put out recently, it's like, okay, it's not like more versus less, it's mm-hmm. to me, and again, just looking at your work even just online, mm-hmm. it seems like it's all about intention. So like there's intent behind all of the pieces. They have a purpose, like you said, there's a reason all of these things are part of, you know, what you do. So at least that's from my own, that's just like on the outside looking in, you know.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm glad it comes out that way.
Yeah totally. So you know, we talked about this a little bit, it's funny, you know, so much of what you do lives in the physical space, right? It's not digital, there are physical products and items that people can buy and then create other physical things with them. But what we do, and like you said, with freelance stuff, a lot of it tends to be digital.
Yeah.
And a lot of what we do is digital these days. And so I'm curious, how do you use both the digital and the physical to keep memories of travel alive? Like when you're traveling, how do you balance the physical and the digital?
Ah, well, I need to get better at scrapbooking and putting things together. I also take a ton of pictures. I honestly, a lot of my memory keeping has also been on Instagram, just because it's so much easier to do. Like, I haven't been documenting as much as I hope to be. The physical things I save are just like now in like big Ziploc bags of like, here, just like a ton of these tickets that I saved. I recently did a project with Blurb that's coming out in a few months, but it was making like how Blurb works, right? You just upload your photos kind of, but I left some pages blank and I was like, I'm going to use this space to put in the physical things that I save along the way. So that's kind of a balance, and I wish I did that more often, but
That's a great idea though. Because I feel like sometimes the thought of printing all the photos and then securing them to pages is overwhelming, right? Especially if you're an over documenter. I've been trying to be better about that, but I used to take 13 photos to the one photo that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need 100 photos of tulips in Amsterdam. I can just use three. And those are the three that I'll use anyway. So like maybe just like try to narrow it down a little bit. It's like self-editing while you're trying to capture memories. It's hard, but I'm trying to be better
I
at
hear
it because
you.
I going through all those photos is so time consuming. So, but I like the idea of using something like a Blurb or whatever company, there's a million out there now, to actually
Kind of
place
mix
the photos. And then
Mm-hmm,
you can place the other items that you've collected, that whether it's like journal pages or, like you said, tickets or pieces of paper that you really liked, you can
Yeah,
kind
that's
of secure them in a in a on a blank page. That's super smart.
Yeah, why thanks.
I love that. I
It'll
would
be
have
out in a
never
few
thought to do
months.
that.
But yeah, I guess that's the biggest barrier, right? Like every time I'm like documenting and all that, and people love the idea, but they're like, oh, I got a ton of pictures. And I like just the thought of having to sort through them is like, ugh. I'm like, yeah, me too. I know that feeling. So it's still, I think that's still a challenge for me and for a lot of people. It's like the thought of sitting down and going through all the vacation photos, like there must be an easier way to do that. And I know like all these like companies, like, you can have print photos printed really quickly. So it's like how to balance the two. It's still something I'm trying to figure out.
Well, it's good to know that like veteran scrapbookers still has trouble with that
I bet they all do.
You know, I mean, we all have busy lives, so I get it. So I'm curious. I want to kind of talk about not just keeping memories after travel, but you are a very busy lady and you love to travel. So I also love to travel, but I know that sometimes balancing that desire to explore and capture things and just be present while you're traveling, trying to balance that with the need to sit down and actually work, that can be really tough. So are you fairly mobile with your work right now, and are you able to kind of blend the two, or do you tend to try and separate travel time from work time?
I blend the two always. Just because, yeah, like as you said, it's more fun to kind of work out of a cafe in LA than in Sacramento. So it's like for me, because a lot of the work that I do doesn't require me physically going into a space for a meeting or whatever, I can actually take my work with me. And I've done that so many times, I think. Like, I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's midnight in London and I'm writing this thing out and hand lettering this thing for like the US and has to be ready by the time they wake up. And like little things like that. I've done so many versions of that, that sometimes I'd be like, I'm supposed to be on vacation kind of, but I'm actually just sitting in my hotel, like finishing, like spending this whole day like working. But you wanted to travel, Christine, you got to get your work done first. So yes, I blend it all the time. And sometimes I plan little trips to get work done, if that makes sense. But I mean, lately I've kind of been staying put. After the residency, I've kind of been like, oh, I need to chill a little bit and kind of find some stability. But I mean, I'm going to be traveling soon, so we'll see how I balance work then. But yes, I always
Right.
blend it.
Yeah, it is in 2015 I took this show on the road, and
Oh,
it was a working trip. I for sure I set aside, luckily I was able to set aside time and not do freelance work as well. So I wasn't like answering to other people other than the lovely listeners of this show.
Nice.
So that was really nice. Well, and a sponsor, but whatever. But I still had to get things done. Like I had to edit audio, and there I was in like Nashville spending 4 hours editing audio and getting a a podcast episode ready. And I was like, dang, but I'm not seeing Nashville, you know. So there's that push, that pull, I guess, where you kind of want to be doing all the things. And I do understand that it's really hard. So do you have any like tips for those who want to become a little more mobile with the work they're doing?
I think for most people who want to go mobile, like a lot of the work. Okay, here's one thing. And this is kind of my mentality when I travel, which is probably not, I don't know if it's good or bad, but every time I go to a new city, I'm always like, it's okay, you can come back next time. So there's no sense, I never have the sense of like, oh no. Like, you know how some people travel where it's like, we're going to be here for 3 days, so we have to like squeeze everything in and wake up like really early to make sure you get to the tour at this time so you see, we get to see everything in these 3 days.
Yes, I do understand that. That used to be me.
That used to be, well, I used to kind of be like that in college. And then I was like, this is so tiring. I am not, and I realized I appreciate more the slow everydayness of a place. Like sitting in a cafe for like 3 hours seems to be more meaningful sometimes for me than, you know, like seeing all the whatever. But I don't know. That's kind of how I like being okay with saying, if I didn't see it this time, I can see it next time. Just like, yeah, like enjoy the now in this place. And I mean, that's hard for me because as a history major, I love to geek out on like these big historical like monuments. And I cry when I'm like, oh my God, I saw the Colosseum in Rome and I cried. I was like, this is so beautiful. But it's like, that's how I travel now. And that might be a little too like, even, I mean, I don't know if I'm ever going to go back to those places, but there's less FOMO, I guess.
Yes. Good way to sum it up. There's less FOMO.
Yeah. I mean, the FOMO is real for sure. Especially if you're like, you're in a really beautiful city when you're like, oh man, like, you know, people will say to you came back from the city. Did you see this thing? It's like, no, I was actually in my hotel room, like working. I mean, of course I totally get that FOMO, but I don't know. There's something I think magical too in like the everyday of a city. And one of my favorite things too, is that I have, some of my best friends live in London, so I'm always like, oh, I can just go to London, crash at their place. And I mean, they're working, so it's always like, okay, I gotta go to work, so I can't take you around all the time. And I think I've been there enough that they would just be like, see you after work. We can go to, and they'll like say a place, for example, like, oh, I'll see you at South Bank. And it's like, I love that I know how to get there without, you know, it's like I am less of a tourist already and more of like, okay, I'll see you there. I know where to go. And there's something like so magical about feeling like a local in that city, right?
Absolutely.
It's like, well, I don't have to see, I've never been on the London Eye, and I've been to London like maybe more than 5 times, but it's like, well, I've like walked this bridge on the way to whatever, and it's just as magical, I think.
Agreed.
Right? You're slow, taking it slow at night.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There are things I've done in travel where I'm for sure a tourist. Like,
oh, yeah,
I'm
me
not
too.
Acting
sure.
like a local.
Me too.
Like riding a tandem bike through the tulip fields in Harlem, you know, when I went to Amsterdam. That was a very touristy thing to do, and we owned it.
I love it.
But, you know, like, I don't want to think about, like, not having an experience because I'm worried about looking like a tourist, but I also love the feeling of not having to bring up Google Maps to get back to our flat when we were in Amsterdam because we knew the way, you know?
Yeah.
That's a really big, to me, those feelings are equal.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love, like, organized tours sometimes just because I travel alone a lot. So I'm like, oh, maybe I just hop off, get an overview of the city. Like, I love to do touristy things. But I also love, like, making time for kind of the everyday and just not worrying about not seeing everything. So there's a side that you want the overview of, okay, what's cool to do here. And there's also giving yourself that permission to just, okay, we're going to chill today and pretend I live here for a day or something. What would I do? And that's, I think, I love that too.
I agree. I'm into it. It makes me want to go on a trip. Okay, you can find out more about Christine by visiting her site, christineheron.com. And you can also shop her new memory keeping products at everydayexplorers.co. As usual, you can also find links to everything we mentioned today over in the show notes at creatingyourownpath.com. All right, let's talk about next week's show. I am chatting with Christine about her time as an Adobe Creative resident and the lessons she learned along the way. Here is a quick preview of the episode.
But one thing as a business person and a creative person with my travel journal project, I like to joke that my designer side took over and my business side was just like, uh-oh. Because my designer side was like, I want all the colors. I want it a special format. I want to throw everything in it. And like my designer side was like, okay, but this is already super expensive and I don't know if you can sell it for the right, you know, price. So that, like, balancing those two, it's like, yes, you have a creative vision, but you also have to think about practical things.
Right.
Like, do you even need all the colors? Like, non-designers wouldn't, you know, it's like, you don't need all four colors and to do a good job. And like having these constraints too is very helpful, especially, you know, both from a creative side and like business side. That's like one of the biggest lessons.
Another good one coming up next week, you guys. Okay. Before I sign off, I have a favor to ask. I know I ask you to do this just about every week on this show, but I cannot tell you how much it helps when you all rate and review the show on iTunes. I know it sounds silly, but it really does help others find the content I create here. As many of you know, I started this show because I felt alone as I started to make my own way in this career of mine, and I'd love to know that this show is reaching those who need to feel a little less alone as they walk their own paths. So if you have just a few minutes to give the show a few stars or leave a review, I'd really appreciate it. Of course, you can always share the show with friends on social media or tell a real live friend next time you meet up for coffee. That works too. As always, my friends, thank you for listening, and I will catch you next week.